Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong, and also a big supporter of National Ag Day, coming up here very soon. This week in our program, we're going to learn about a new invention in the beef business. Beef has a very special place in my heart, and it just doesn't get much better than the flavor and the nutrition of this product that we produce here in the United States. So I have with me Howard Bender. And Howard, you are, do we call it the inventor of something called Schmacken?
I am. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate very much you having me on your program. Schmacken is three years in development, and really to the industry, there have been products alike it out there before that were considered beef bacon or things of that nature. And over the course of the last 3 years, we've developed Schmacken, which is the first, the first one that's out there that really is a spectacular alternative to the traditional pork bacon. And I love pork bacon. So we've really designed something, worked on something. We have a patent out on the process of making it, but it is a very unique product.
Yes, I have been watching a little bit as you've been developing here, and we'll get to this in a few and how your plans are for the future. But why don't we start with the story here? What is it that kind of caused you to go ahead and work on this kind of a project?
It's interesting. So really back about 3.5 years ago, I was at breakfast with a friend, and we were having breakfast. He was eating some turkey bacon. I tried it. We both agreed that it just wasn't cutting it. And originally looking at that kind of dietary, maybe a little healthier kind of alternative at breakfast was a proponent. But then I'm a huge beef fan. If I could eat beef 3 times a day, I would. And there was a sort of a challenge at that table. My background is restaurant, is food development. I'm a Culinary Institute of America graduate, and I had always been a sort of a tinkerer in the kitchen, but a little bit of an experimenter. And I spent a good amount of time trying to come up with something on the beef side that would crisp and curl and really look and have a natural smoke flavor and do all those things that bacon fundamentally did. And really, it's been a 3-year process in USDA facilities proving it out.
So talk about that process just a little bit. I mean, did you have to do a lot of experimentation with different cuts of beef and, of course, your secret ingredients and processing?
Absolutely. I think it started off with about 6 months of understanding what cut of meat we had to use. And I go straight to the meat buyer's guide. I start looking through there, trying to understand what will work. And we really did have to develop a new cut of meat. Now, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the Beef Innovations Group have been absolutely incredible in helping me do the development of this product. And so you reach out to the guys that know beef better than anybody. And over the course of that first 6 months, we developed a cut of meat that really didn't exist, but it was one that could work in a production facility with high throughput in these very large USDA facilities. So we developed, I can call it the Schmacken cut. It comes from sort of the cow belly, but it's a very rectangular, elongated piece that that really is part of it was in the past trim. So now we've got product that is going out into the market that is being treated as further processed. So there's more value to both the rancher and the consumer in it.
Mm-hmm. Now, at this point, you are doing some distribution, right?
That's correct. So our strategy was to first reach out to the food service industry, the restaurants, hotels, military, et cetera, schools, kind of get it out there and get it to the people that were utilizing it either on dishes in restaurants or as an ingredient in the industry, because I knew that they would help us in and really kind of fundamentally tweaking and getting the product really perfect. So we've been in the food service side of it in distribution in a 10-pound food service box for about 7 months now. It's selling very well. One of the largest food service distributors in the U.S. has it on board, and it's starting to grow out in the food service industry. But that's kind of phase one. Phase two is now really getting it to the consumer, and we thought that we were going to do that sometime at the end of this year or early next year. And what's happened is that as it's won some awards in innovation in the food service industry, the social media and the presence in the market today, general consumers, the consumers, my mother and your sister and their cousin, all of a sudden we have a Facebook base and social media of 12,000 fans asking when it's going to be in the grocery store. And it is an unbelievable thing that has happened, and we're excited about it, but now we're really pushing it to fast forward to get it into grocery.
Well, I can only understand the desire to get their hands on it by the consumer. I'll raise my hand as one of those. And so, you know, when you're looking at where do you go next, one thing that caught my eye to trigger giving you a call is that you started a Kickstarter campaign to help raise funds in order to kind of take you to the next level. Talk about what you're trying to accomplish with the funds you raise and how people might want to, or how they can find that so that they could support you.
Well, sure. So a Kickstarter campaign is an interesting thing. So this world of crowdfunding is out there now, and about 50% of the people that do these Kickstarter campaigns or crowdfunding programs, they do it for, so say you have a prototype of an item, and if you get the funding you need, you can then develop that product further and work on getting it to the market. The other 50% are, you know, like us, and frankly, we have it in the market. We have a part of our business that we really want to move into a fast gear. So for us, the philosophy is, and it's a little different for each organization, but for us, we believe that the consumer is the one that helps drive what is sold in grocery stores more than ever before. So let's say I want to get 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people to go to their grocer, regardless of where they are in the U.S., and say, I tried this product called Schmaken, and I believe that it should be in my Kroger or HEB down the street. Well, for me to legitimately be able to get the Schmaken into the hands of 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people, how do I do that? So Kickstarter isn't just raising funds. Frankly, we don't anticipate actually making and raising much money from it, because we're taking, as we take a donation, we're turning around and we're sending Schmaken and different pieces, you know, coffee mugs and T-shirts and things that say Schmaken on them, but we're sending Schmaken out to consumers all over the U.S. So out of nowhere, in a matter of just a couple of months as we get funded, we turn around, send Schmaken out to people all over the country with a little card that says, this is the information that you need to give your grocer. And the grocer can, in a heartbeat, have that product in stock. Now, I know of very few other methods other than to be honest, spending millions of dollars in a marketing campaign. And we don't have that. We're a small, grassroots, from farm to plate company that is bringing a brand new product out. And we're using the excitement of consumers to help us bring it to market. And that's really what the Kickstarter campaign is for us.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than having a very strong brand advocate base out there active on social media today. And hopefully on a positive side, I should say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Well, we'll certainly let a lot of people know and hope that they will provide some support, help spread the word. You know, what you just said is prompting me for my next trip to my favorite chain down here in Florida, is Publix. To have a little chat with the meat department manager and say, here's something that you can get now, and I guarantee you're going to have have to be doing some reordering pretty quick after it gets out on your shelf. So,
you know, and it's great. And frankly, I say again, thank you so much for having us today. But AgWire and the industry as a whole have been really quite phenomenal in supporting us. Back in the San Diego convention for the national, you know, for the Farm Bureau this year, mm-hmm. they served Schmacken at a breakfast at their national convention. It's been served at national expos for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Frankly, as we've gone along, we've worked with so many individuals and groups. I mean, I'll give you an example. We work with a company called Brand Formula, and it's one of the finest food scientists in the country that helps develop natural product. It's one of the best product strategy companies in the country for helping really take a look at what the product is and working with the Beef Innovations Group with us and helping us develop them out. We couldn't have done that as a small company without the help of these organizations. We just couldn't have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love seeing it. There have been, over time, lots of innovations in the beef industry with products. I've had the opportunity to be in test kitchens, and it's amazing what, you know, you would think that by this point in history, we'd probably have found everything there is to find, but...
Yeah, we'd be surprised, right? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I remember, you know, when Flatiron steaks came out from,
sure.
again, from a part of the cow that you would not have thought you could get a nice, tasty, and also at the same time, what's the word I'm looking for, tender cut. I love it. And we don't see it in stores
right.
often enough, but we do find it, so...
But it's true, you know. Schmacken is a whole muscle product. It's not really further processed. There's not a lot of work that's done to it in the sense that we're not chopping and forming. We've left the integrity of the product, and I think there are a lot of items that are out there that, you know, within the cow that still can be developed out that are further processed products without losing the integrity of that beef flavor. And that's what we really wanted to hold true to when we were developing it.
Well, let's see. We can point people to schmacken.com, which is S-C-H-M-A-C-O-N. There, at least right now, I know there you can find an easy-to-see direct link to Kickstarter. And we'll encourage them to go there. Let's see. Well, if somebody wants some Schmacken... they can do that through a contribution to Kickstarter. Is there any other way that they can in terms
of? Well, interesting. So at this point in time, there are two ways you can order Schmacken. You can make a donation at different levels on Kickstarter and get Schmacken through there. And now you can go to schmacken.com and there's an online store that you can buy the food service box, which is a 10-pound box. And trust me, I never thought we would have so many consumers buying 10-pound boxes of Schmacken, but we really do. We really do. And then we of course, we are now an approved vendor on Amazon, and I believe you can buy it through there. But over the course of the next few months, I mean, we really, in a 3-year project, we are so close, Chuck, to being into retail grocery stores, and it's because of your listeners and that are helping get us there.
Well, I hope they do. So, anything,
absolutely.
Yeah, anything else about Schmacken before we close out here that you might want folks to know?
Well, you know, I had a discussion about this the other night. Schmacken is absolutely such a unique item in the industry for beef. And somebody said, well, let's take that paradigm and turn it upside down. What if, you know, decades ago, let's say hundreds of years ago, the idea of bacon was developed from beef? Well, it would be a really healthy item because it's reasonably low in calories and fat, and it doesn't take a lot of sodium to put into it to really pull that flavor out. And what if beef had been the standard of bacon? And then somebody introduced it in pork and said, well, I've got this bacon item. I know it's much higher in fat and calories and sodium than the traditional beef bacon, but it's really good. So where would we be today? Where would we be today if we flipped it upside down? And I only bring it up because we joke about it all the time that once the general public has is desensitized, is comfortable with the idea that beef, bacon, items can be really good, then this is going to just take off. And it really is about educating people to realize how great it is.
Well, I'm sure that if you haven't made one yet, somebody will make a Schmecken cocktail or something.
Right.
I can see that, that's all going to be part of that whole development stage as we move forward.
Well, absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Howard, for visiting with me here in my program this week. I hope to have an opportunity to meet you somewhere, because we do get
absolutely
out and about a lot. And I'm sure that you are doing a lot of that yourself right now. So
I am. The cliche is have Schmecken, will travel.
There you go. Well,
absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll point people to the Unbacon, and that is Schmecken. And that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. And thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.